This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Love always looks for people to help. But you got to be mentally prepared before you go out of your house to do that, or you're not going to pay any attention. I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands, but I just wonder how many people in here this morning even spent 30 seconds mentally thinking about asking God to help you notice people today that were in need and setting your mind to go out, be an encouragement, be friendly, be nice, help people. Jesus, who was actually love in a body, and I love that, always took the time to help people. And he told a story letting us know how we should live. Luke 10, 26 through 34. Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said correctly, "You have answered," Jesus said, "You have answered correctly. Do this." I draw a circle around "do this." Because see, a lot of times we know the answers, but we're not doing. I mean, it doesn't matter how much you clap and cheer for my message today if you don't go home now and do this. So if you would just even take a few minutes this afternoon, sit down somewhere and think on purpose. This is one of the ways that you renew your mind, is by thinking on purpose according to the Word of God. I want to walk in love today. I'm going to walk in love today. Help me, Lord, walk in love today. I want to help somebody today. Boy, let me tell you what, you start praying that every day. God, I want to help somebody today. You're going to be the busiest person you can possibly imagine. I'll tell you one thing, I'm not as bored. And frankly, I don't know how any Christian could be bored. Do this and you will live, enjoy, active, blessed, endless life in the kingdom of God. Is that not wonderful? Now do this and you will enjoy your life. I love it. We can just stop right here and have a shouting party. And the man, determined to acquit himself of reproach, said to Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" Like he didn't know. So Jesus, taking him up, I love that, was like Jesus said, "Okay, I'll take that challenge." A certain man was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him of his clothes and belongings and beat him and went on their way, unconcernedly leaving him half dead as it happened. Can I tell you that you run into people like this every day? People that have been beat up by the world, they've been hurt, they've been abused, they've been mistreated, and they're lying somewhere, if not physically, mentally, and emotionally, on the side of the road of life with no hope and no help. And now we have some options about what we can do about it. And not by coincidence, a certain priest, a religious man, was going down the road, and when he saw the man lying there in such a mess, he passed by on the other side of the road. He crossed the street to get away from him. Oh, my goodness. Do we ever pull up to a stoplight and we hope that the light changes and we can get away before the guy begging gets to our window? You know, sometimes we just don't want to mess with the people in life that make us uncomfortable. We're not real sure. Well, it's very simple. If you feel like God wants you to help him, help him. And if you feel like he doesn't, then don't. We got to use wisdom. Not everybody out collecting money is actually really poor. Some of them are just getting rich. But you know, You're led by the Spirit. You'll know. And I'll tell you what, I'd rather help somebody and be wrong than to not help somebody and be wrong. Amen? I'd rather give somebody a couple of bucks and then have God say later, oh, you shouldn't have done that. And then a Levite, who was also another type of religious man, came down to the place and saw him, and he passed by on the other side of the road. But a certain Samaritan, as he traveled along, came down to where he was, and when he saw him, he was moved, everybody say moved, moved, with pity and sympathy. We need to just stop saying, I feel so sorry for them. It's okay to feel sorry for people, but we also need to be ready to move. Where are you at? I'm going to keep just preaching just to you. You know, if nothing else, when you think of somebody that's hurting, say a prayer for them. Be moved to say, God, comfort them today. Any little thing, anything other than nothing. The one thing we cannot keep doing is nothing. Nothing is no longer acceptable. I tell you, I live an exciting life because I never know what God's going to have me do next. I don't like all of it, but I'm happy about working with him to bring help to people. So he was moved with pity and sympathy. Verse 34, and he went to him and dressed his wounds, pouring on them oil and wine, and then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn, and he took care of them there, and we had to go and finish some business that he had to do. He said to the inn owner, whatever it costs, now I love that, whatever it costs, you take care of him, and when I come back, I will pay you, whatever it costs. We don't have too many believers like that anymore. It's like, whatever is required, whatever it costs, whatever it takes, you can count on me. Oh, you're not liking this like you ought to. Well, for crying out loud, Joyce, I've only got a certain amount of money. Well, nobody's expecting anybody to do what they can't do. You know, God's even challenged me, and it's... I hesitate to even tell you this because you're not going to like it. You're not going to want to apply this to your life, but I'll just tell you anyway. Oh, God, help so-and-so. God told me one day, why don't you stop asking me to do things for people that you could easily do yourself and just don't want to? A group of Christian men, many of them in ministry and some in business, were praying one day together, and they began to pray about a certain conference that they were going to be having, and one man began to pray that God would provide the sufficient funds needed for that conference. And they went on for a little bit, and another man stopped and said, you know what, we don't really need to pray about that. We don't even need to bother God with that because between us, we've all got what it would take to pay for this conference with no problem. Woo, buddy. Oh, but you know what? We've got our little giving money, and boy, if God wants anything besides that, it's going to be rough. Well, I've done my giving this month. Now, how would we like it if God said that? Now, look, you've already been here three times this month, and I've done my giving to you, so I'm having fun today. I don't know about you, but I'm having fun. Okay, so here's one of my questions. If you had a need, would you want to be friends with you? I can finally say yes, but there would have been a lot of years in my life when I would have had to have thought, not so much. How do we think about people when it comes to determining, judging them. You know, I don't know about you, but I mean, I have to work at this stuff. This don't all come naturally to me. I mean, Dave maybe was born naturally nice and he's loves everybody, but I ain't like that. And I mean, I can go sit in Starbucks and think, I don't think I like you. Look over here. Man, you look really weird. And why don't we like people? Let me tell you something. Even if you just see a woman that's skinnier than you, you cannot like her. One of my favorite things used to be to go sit in the mall and just judge people as they walked up and down the aisle. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. Just sit there and just... Well, what is a good-looking guy like you doing with that woman? Huh? See? You've done it too. Man, I don't get that at all. Well, maybe he's one of those people that cares more about the heart and the spirit of a person. Maybe he's actually acting a little more like God. Okay, here it comes. Luke 6:37, judge not. Neither pronounce judgment nor subject yourself to censure and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and pronounce guilty and you will not be condemned and pronounced guilty. Acquit and forgive, release, give up resentment, let it drop, and you will be acquitted and forgiven and released. Okay, here comes my question. If you made a mistake, would you want to be friends with you? Well. Okay, we better back up and go at that one a different way. In other words, how merciful am I when someone doesn't do it right the first three times? And how many times am I going to have to tell you the same thing over and over? Look at life like a wheel. What you put on it always comes back around. Dave and I have this little saying. He'll say to me, well, you put it on the wheel. You put it on the wheel. Think ahead of time. I am not going to lose my temper today. When I go out of the house today, everything is not going to happen the way I want it to, and I'm going to be calm and even-tempered. I'm not going to get upset every time. You think I'm kidding? I am not kidding. Sit down and think like this on purpose. Don't sit there and think, if this happens, I'm going to be mad. And if that happens, I'm going to be mad. And boy, if I don't get that promotion at work, I am going to be ticked off. And if you do that one more time, I'm out of here. Woo. 2 Timothy 2:23. But refuse, shut your mind against. You know, everything gets back to the mind. Shut your mind against trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid controversies over ignorant questions. Don't you love the Amplified Bible? In other words, when stupid starts, just say, I'm out of here. This is going nowhere good, and I'm not participating. Amen? Oh, my gosh, I remember how I used to argue with Dave just to get to be right about something. I used to start so many fights over that kind of stuff. Trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid stuff that didn't make any difference to anybody. Hello, is anybody home in your house? Have you ever had an argument with anybody over who an actor or an actress was on TV? Probably most of you are too young to even know who Henry Fonda was, but Dave used to think everybody was Henry Fonda. And I finally thought, you know, one night I was arguing with him. We were going to stay up real late and watch the credits on the movie to see who was right. Get no sleep and be tired the next day. And I mean, the Spirit of God spoke to me. Joyce, would it really make any difference to anybody's salvation if Dave lived his whole life and died thinking that was Henry Fonda? I don't know. Refuse. Shut your mind against. In other words, when the nonsense starts, when you can ask God to start showing you, when I am getting into something that makes no sense at all, please show me before I get in so deep I can't get out. Shut your mind against, have nothing to do with trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid controversies over ignorant questions, for you know that they foster strife and breed quarrels. Strife is bickering, arguing, heated disagreement, but the part I hate about strife the worst is it's an angry undercurrent where everybody's smiling, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Then you go home and fight all afternoon. Oh, Dave and Joyce, how are you? Oh, praise God. Oh, the kids, yes, the little darlings, they're just wonderful. And all the way coming to church, you were ranting and raving and screaming and yelling. If you're looking for a spiritual person, don't look in the church. I only say that because in church, we all put on our church face. Praise God. Now, go look at home. Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife and to keep aloof from it. But every fool will quarrel. How about making a decision that you're going to be, from now on, I set my mind that when I have a problem with anybody, I'm going to be the first one to apologize. Oh, this is good. I'm watching some of you are going, well, I guess that's an idea. Yeah, ladies, can I give you a piece of advice? Just, the men can just check out here for a minute. Do not wait for your husband to apologize. Because he doesn't even think that he did anything wrong to start with. So therefore, he is not going to apologize. You will be the one that will do most of the apologizing in your life. And so you can just do it unto God and be happy. I mean, I would go around mad for 3 weeks and Dave didn't even know what he did. He didn't even know what he did. And whatever it was, he would cast his care about it 2 seconds after he did it anyway. And, you know, I'd be mad and have a stomach ache and not sleeping at night. It's all foolish. It's silly. Think about it in a different way. Here's how you can think. You know what? I'm just going to let that go. I'm just going to let that go. Oh, but no. I wanted him to at least know that I was letting it go. I mean, if I'm going to let it go, you're going to know that I'm letting it go. And I want you to at least admire me because I'm letting it go. And I may turn the light off in the closet that you leave on every time you go in there, but I am going to tell you that I turn it off every time I go in there. Don't think that I'm just going to cover your sin like the Bible says. Yeah. All right, guys, you can join back in now. Am I right? We got to just mention how forgiving we are. Let's just start thinking different. I'm going to let it go. And I'm going to cover people's faults. I'm not going to tell anybody else. I'm not going to mention it. I'm just going to pray about it. Yeah, just going to keep a lot of stuff between me and God now. I was reading something about David, who ultimately became king. And, you know, he was anointed to be king 20 years before he wore the crown. Boy, that's a lesson in itself right there. Just because you're anointed to do something. Come on now. Just because you're anointed to do something, that doesn't mean that you're going to get to do it until you've had your time with King Saul and lived in the caves. You know, one of the things that David learned from King Saul, or that he never learned from King Saul, which was great. You see, King Saul was a spear thrower. He was an expert at throwing spears, and David didn't know how to do that. He was a sweet little shepherd boy that had just been out singing hymns and spending time with God. Everybody knows what you do when somebody throws a spear at you. You pull it out of the wall and you throw it back. But David didn't know how to do that. Oh my gosh, I wish that I would have never learned how to throw spears. How peaceful life must be if you never become an expert spear thrower. But boy, I tell you, I could hit my target. But now over the years, I've learned how not to throw spears. And as I read on this thing that I was reading, which was had a very deep lesson, and it said that David, after all the time he spent in the caves and all the time he spent hiding from King Saul while he was trying to steal his life. You see, what God was really doing was there's a little bit of Saul in every one of us. And especially sometimes people that God's going to use, he's got to put you around a Saul to get the Saul out of you. Oh yeah, God gave me many Sauls in my life. But I had to learn how to not throw spears, how to not touch God's anointed. I was anointed. I could have preached very good a long time before God let me loose on anybody. But it wouldn't have been pretty because I would have been preaching it but not living it. Come on now. Just because you're anointed doesn't mean you're going to be released until there's a brokenness. That's another word we don't care much about. Independence, self-will, do my own thing. You throw a spear at me, I'm throwing one back. Listen, before we get worried about God using us publicly, we need to make sure that we know how to behave at home behind closed doors, and especially when things are not going our way. If you're good at throwing spears, then you got to unlearn that bad habit first. Now remember, our thoughts, words, and attitudes affect our relationships in many ways. And one way to examine our actions is to ask ourselves the question, Would you want to be friends with yourself? I think that's an interesting question. Today we're offering you the Mind Connection book. I think this is a wonderful book that's really going to be a blessing to you. And it's for your gift to the ministry today of any amount. This week, what you give goes to our television broadcast. That's right. You can help us pay for the television program you're watching, and also you can help us reach out to other people all around the globe. I would like to think that you would send in gifts on a regular basis to help us pay for the TV program, but today you can do so and get a book in the process. Thank you so much for your giving. It allows us to share what God's done in many people's lives and what He wants to do in yours. God bless you.
My thoughts used to ruin my day before it even started.
A constant battle.
Then I learned about the Mind Connection.
My mind, mouth, moods, attitudes, it's all connected.
Now I have the tools to think differently.
How to think when something throws me.
And it's starting to change everything.
Today, we're offering the Mind Connection for your donation of any amount. Call us right now, 1-800-727-9673. Or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
Get a fresh understanding of how the Word of God applies to your life and be encouraged at the Joyce Meyer Conference. Three unique sessions that will help you gain a new focus on life and motivate you to grow in God. Coming to San Jose, California, August 3rd and 4th with Worship by Jesus Culture. And St. Paul, Minnesota, August 24th and 25th with Worship by Carrie Job. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org/conference or call 1-866-SEE-JOYCE.
Through the years, Hand of Hope has been one of our most consistent and meaningful partners. Their support and encouragement has helped allow Embrace the Village to consistently serve the people and their families that have been impacted by leprosy in India. With the help of Hand of Hope, our teams travel weekly throughout the state of Tamil Nadu, covering approximately 2,400 miles, to bring God's truth of hope and healing to some who the world would deem to be the least of these. Hand of Hope supports the ongoing work of providing nutritional, educational, medical, and spiritual support, allowing Embrace a Village to share the critical message of God's truth, to bring His divine forgiveness, healing, and love. Thank you for your support in this life-changing work.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org to share your prayer requests, see the conference schedule, or partner with us in sharing Christ and loving people all across the globe. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.